Well, many businesses are adopting sustainable principles and practices, and we're going to talk about how this is changing the way business and economics are taught in higher education. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our next guest is Dr. Vallabh Sambhamurthy, who is the Albert Nicholas Dean of the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. So we'll talk with Dean Samba about how the school is integrating concepts of environmental sustainability into its undergrad and graduate curriculum, and also learn how this fits into the new framework of the three faces of capitalism. So we could talk about that a little bit with him, too. So what questions do you have about the business school's curriculum when it comes to teaching environmental sustainability? Do you think it's important for business schools to teach concepts of environmental sustainability? Why or why not? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Dean Samba, welcome back to the show. Great to have you back with us.
Good morning, Larry. It's good to talk to you on a Monday morning, which is, speaks well for the rest of the week.
Well, thank you. It seems like a lot of businesses are looking to adopt sustainable principles and practices these days. Would you say that's true?
I would say, Larry, that's quite true. And actually, there are it's a trend that's gone from something that it's good to do to something that's an imperative, not just for the planet, but also for business, but also for us. For example, when I arrived here 2 years ago, quite a lot of our students, who are the undergraduate students, they're very passionate about environmental sustainability. And they would often ask me whether there was more that could be done in the curriculum. And we are doing that. And actually, as I look at what we are doing, there's quite a lot of ESG scattered. But what we are now beginning to do is both within our master's and our undergraduate business programs, we're beginning to take a systemic look at not just our curriculum, but also about our co-curricular and extracurricular activities. And we are developing a holistic approach. Wisconsin also has the Nelson Institute, which is very well known for environmental sustainability, and we are strengthening our partnership with them.
And, you know, as I think about this, consumer demand is probably a factor in businesses wanting to be more sustainable as well.
Indeed. I mean, if you look at the stakeholders of a business, they are not just shareholders, they are employees and they are customers or consumers. And as we are seeing a generational shift, both the consumers and employees are passionate about people, planet, and society. And it doesn't have to be as the book that the previous author talked about. They don't have to be in conflict. And that's the view that we take at a business school. But I'll also add that having been a business school professor, researcher, teacher for 30 years, there has been a accumulating knowledge base. So, for example, we've talked about different ways of measuring firm performance, which is not just about shareholder value. And there is good research and teaching on that. There has been some of our professors here have been working on sustainable supply chains. We learned during the pandemic that supply chains are very critical, you know, to avoid the run on toilet paper. But supply chains must be sustainable. And so we have colleagues here who do a lot of great research on that. So when I look at our courses, I look at our research, this is not new. It's been going on for at least 5 to 10 years. What is different now is that the companies, the business schools, the students, everybody is coming together in a convergent manner to say that this is important.
Are you looking to special degrees or maybe minors or subspecialties?
Right. So we are in the process of fully redesigning our undergraduate curriculum as part of the Wisconsin School of Business's strategy to strengthen and build a world-class BBA program. And a key element of that is to build a variety of certificates. Certificates are 6 to 9 credit courses. And in there, one of the certificates we're going to build is around environmental sustainability, ESG. And it will create courses both within the business school and across the university where students can, strengthen their major in finance or marketing with an ESG certificate. So that's one. Secondly, our students have a ESG club, and so they do a variety of activities because ultimately, you have to also demonstrate your learning by the way you're living. And so they are passionate about, can we apply some sustainability practices both on campus as well as with companies? So we are creating opportunities for them to apply their knowledge in practice. So you can see it's a holistic approach.
It sure sounds that way. I'm wondering about graduate research.
Mm-hmm. Again, as I said, our faculty, sustainability is something that should touch everything, whether it is operations, finance, accounting, marketing, supply chain, name it. And so, something is important when it is not standalone, but it is embedded or becomes the DNA of our thought process. So our faculty in accounting, they have been doing research on how do we build sustainability scorecards, just like we build financial metric scorecards. So that research is going on. As I said before, our supply chain colleagues are doing research on sustainable supply chain practices. Our marketing people are looking at research which is around how do you build a more inclusive in a society that's very diverse, which is very, there are financial inequities. How do you build a brand which is more inclusive, including paying attention to sustaining the earth? So these are examples. And when you say graduate research, that does involve PhD students because they take their lead from their professors.
What is a PhD student, researching in this area? Where would that person then wind up teaching, or would there be other opportunities?
Majority of the PhD students from a top business school like the Wisconsin School of Business, their passion is to become professors, just like I became a professor nearly 30 years ago. And so their passion is to prepare themselves to a career as a professor doing research, teaching, and what I call corporate outreach. So our PhD graduates, wherever they go, they will help create courses around sustainable supply chain or sustainability metrics in finance. And then they will continue to do their research, and they will continue to remain engaged with their local communities or companies. So they will go to other business schools, and they will expand the role of ESG in business curriculum research and outreach.
Yeah, that makes very good sense to me. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to Melissa Scanlon, who was my previous guest, talked about cooperatives and as a sustainable business and a solution for, is cooperative principles or cooperatives itself taught in the business school?
Yes, ultimately the way our version of cooperatives is that, we are very well known for applied learning, meaning that our students, they don't just learn in the classroom. They also learn through engagement with practice. And so that's a way of thinking about companies come here and our alumni come here. So our faculty, students, and companies, they work together on projects. And so that's our version of cooperative, because ultimately that's how students can make a difference. And at the same time, That's how companies can benefit from the young minds that are coming here, as well as the faculty research that often helps them in thinking about solutions to big problems.
Yeah. What do you see as the top goal, or top priorities and goals when it comes to teaching environmental sustainability?
First and foremost, as Melissa talks about, she says cooperatives share common values and principles. So first, we instill into our graduating students that the world of business is not either or, it is all of the above. And sometimes they're not difficult choices. If we say that we can, so we use the metaphor, people, planet, and society, in addition to shareholder value. So from the beginning, our faculty and our students embrace the notion that these are all consistent values. So what are some practical examples of that? Once again, if you think about financial scorecards, traditionally financial scorecards emphasized shareholder value, right?
Yeah.
Now, research has done, and there are well understood metrics which we teach both in accounting and finance about what are the metrics for environmental sustainability, what are the metrics for people capital, what are the metrics for inclusive social capital, and how do we thread the needle and do that, right? Ultimately, if you know what you are measuring, then your actions are aligned with those measurements. And then you can judge the effectiveness of your actions.
Dean Samba, we're going to have to, I want you to come back to that. We need to take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. So hold that thought. We'll be back after the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about teaching environmental sustainability in higher education, specifically when it comes to business and economics. Our guest, Dr. Vallabh Sambamurthy, he's the Albert Nicholas Dean of the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. His second visit with us, Dean Samba, is a great guy, actually, and a lot of fun to talk with. And I'm hoping you'll join in with your questions. What do you have for the dean about teaching sustainable business models? What do you want to know about how environmental sustainability fits with the future of capitalism? Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org. Again, love to hear from you. And Dean Samba, we broke for news. I'm sorry I cut in on you. We were talking about when it comes to teaching environmental sustainability, what did you see as the top priorities and goals? And you were explaining those when we had to break for news.
Sure, absolutely, Larry. And what I was saying was that there are areas where we see some specific targets of opportunity. For example, I was describing in finance and accounting, how do we develop these measurement metrics? Supply chain, we actually have the ability to develop courses. For example, we have a course on sustainable approaches to system improvement. And we have another course called Business and Society, where it's about branding and purpose-driven business, where it talks about social obligations, environmental obligations. Another important area that I'm truly excited about is we have launched a master's in real estate. And next year, we are launching a track within that on affordable and sustainable housing, which is all about the environment. So an example of a course in there that we are developing would be green sustainable property development. We are hiring faculty this year, and one of the professors we are seeking to hire is an expert in sustainable housing. So you can see that the wheels are turning in terms of what we build into our program and curriculum.
I do indeed. As you think about the skills, new skills and competencies, I mean, you've kind of outlined various areas, but what do a student really need to succeed in an economy that's committed to environmental sustainability?
Yeah, you know, again, there is no substitute for the fundamentals of business in terms of their skills. So a understanding of the building blocks of a business, which is accounting, finance, operations, marketing, and organizations, that's still inevitable. There are newer skills emerging, such as analytics. We are moving into a data-influenced economy where everything you have to dig into the data. So that's analytics. And then, of course, understanding some of the principles of environmental sustainability. So it's a gestalt approach. Our students will be successful because not only are they passionate about the environment, but also they are influenced by data. So they can actually dig into the data and find trends. They can find insights, and they can marry them with the functions of a business, whether it be marketing. So as an example, how do you find consumer tastes which are more environmentally appealing? So that's where marketing insights will be valuable, and we are among the top 10 departments in marketing in the community, right? So that's an example. Similarly, supply chain, as I mentioned to you. So it's about the foundation courses plus some electives. That's what will prepare our students for being successful in an ESG world.
Do you think the current framework for capitalism is set up to move into this direction? Well,
I think it is. You know, again, what happens is that we often, the wheels are turning a lot more than we realize under the surface. I mean, if you recall, in the last month or so, or maybe a little bit more than that, Exxon, their board of director elections, two environmental activists actually got elected to be on the board, which means that that's a commitment. Think about Mary Barra at GM and her commitment that GM will completely move to switching and building electric vehicles. So we are hearing a lot of wheels are turning from corporate leaders as well as so it's no longer just activism or armchair thinking. Companies are responding because they realize that this is inevitable. So there is a whole movement going on, not just within business schools, but also within the boardrooms, and of course in the students who will be the future employees and consumers.
Yeah, you kind of wonder, it's sort of a chicken and egg thing, maybe, which came first, the consumer demand or the business owners looking at, hey, we can save money this way, or
ultimately, you know, business is about marrying the passion of society with the pragmatic thinking, right? So what we are now seeing is that it is economically feasible to balance shareholder value with environmental sustainability and social capital. And it is also becoming, there's also a growing realization that it is no longer leading edge, but actually thought and action are moving into the mainstream. And pretty soon, companies that are still resisting it might find themselves to be on the outside looking in, because students, younger students, will choose to work for companies which have achieved that balance between shareholder value, environmental sustainability, and social value. So I'm seeing a much bigger movement across the board in terms of the recruiters. Take investment companies. We have one of the strongest presence on Wall Street in terms of our alumni and where our students want to go. And increasingly, students who have balance their finance with some ESG certificates will find that they're more market worthy than not.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. I had another question for you right off the top of my head, and it just flew right out the window. Somebody was wondering about just maybe basics in terms of business school, in terms of the number of students you have, undergraduate and graduate, and what percentage do you think are kind of going this way?
Yeah, I think we are in a growth phase. When I arrived here, we knew that demand was growing, so our undergraduate program, which was at about 3,000 across 4 years, just a few years ago, will grow to 4,000 by 2025. Our graduate programs are doubling in size because of all these new master's degrees that we're launching, one-year master's degrees. To give you an idea, we launched a master's in business analytics. It's gone from 12 to 90 students in 2 years. So we are growing. And, you know, my biggest challenge is to hire enough faculty and instructors and to find the space for them. But it's a great growth story. Now, to get your question about how many will be in the ESG space, it's hard to say because, again, as I said, remember that I see ESG is increasingly becoming part of the DNA of being a business professional. So there will be a few of our students who will be specifically going into ESG roles. So there might be some investment analysts who will be hired in companies because they know how to create those metrics for ESG capital. But then there's going to be a lot of them who, whatever you are doing, will have some of the ESG training as part of how they approach marketing, operations, finance. Again, go back to supply chain. Our students are increasingly being hired in supply chain, not just for their supply chain knowledge, but also because they know how to design and implement sustainable supply chains.
And a supply chain, somebody's wondering, what is a, you know, could you describe basically what's involved in a supply chain?
Yeah. I mean, you know, think about what does the company do? They procure raw materials, they build, then they sometimes ship them directly to, they package them and they ship them directly to customers, or they store them in a warehouse and then they transport them and deliver to the customers. At each of these points, we can start thinking about how are we paying attention to the climate and to the world. Think about packaging. Think about how much packaging is a waste, right? Because we buy a product, it comes with a lot of packaging, and we essentially rip out the package and we throw it away. That is hurting the climate. So can we build a sustainable packaging which is environmentally safe? So that's an example of designing a supply chain. Similarly, every time we move a product from one warehouse to the other before we ship it to a customer, we are burning fuel. We are putting emissions into the environment. Can we design the location of warehouses, shorten the amount of time that they have to be transported so that we are reducing emissions? In addition to designing, now what we are seeing is the autonomous vehicles. So the autonomous vehicles could be electric, and so can we now design their delivery mechanisms in a way that they're not only safe, but they're environmentally sustainable. So supply chain is really a profession where they design the process from the acquisition of raw materials all the way through supplying it to your doorhouse. So the whole chain is supply chain, and at every point, there's an opportunity to pay attention to sustainability practices, and that's what we are doing.
I think that'd be a pretty cool job, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have a huge growth opportunity at Wisconsin. When I arrived here, we created an undergraduate major in supply chain, and demand is growing. So we also have a master's in supply chain, and we believe that it will grow. And after all, we're still the Midwest, right? So we are part of a manufacturing economy, and supply chain is probably even more critical to a manufacturing company than any other function. I am passionate about supply chain, as you can tell.
Dean Samba.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He is the Dean of the School of Business at UW-Madison, the Albert O. Nicholas Dean. You can join in, question or comment, give a call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Somebody was wondering, what is the job outlook for business school students in this area? You said in supply chain, things are ramping up.
They are actually, not to brag, but I will, that, you know, I just saw the numbers for our undergraduate program. We achieved 93% this year. That means 93% of the business school students found a job within 90 days after graduation. That's great news for the parents who no longer have to worry about, are they going to move back into my basement? And that's great news for the kids. And so whether it be supply chain, marketing, finance, real estate, across the board, we are doing very well.
What do you think about a business? You know, sometimes we look to government to be leaders. Mm-hmm. And maybe through regulation and other things as well. But sometimes, I mean, over the last few years, it seemed to me in some cases that it's business that's doing the leading when it comes to change.
I think the strength of U.S. has been that it is a collaborative process, but certainly businesses have had a very active role in embracing and often leading. And so, and businesses often respond faster to the need for change. So in the ESG space, it's been a back and forth. There were times when regulations were trying to prompt businesses to change, but what I've seen in ESG in the last 2 years is businesses have recognized that this is a business imperative. It's not just a moral imperative. It's a business imperative. And that's the kind of change that is more everlasting than the change you can produce through governmental action. So I think in some way, ESG is a train that is left the station. It's chugging along, and I think it's here to stay. And we recognize that, and as a result, in the business school, we are actively moving from research into teaching. We're actively moving from a concept in a course to something that is more systemic across the breadth of our curriculum and our co-curricular experiences.
Mm. Rich in Madison, let's give you a chance. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm not very well versed on this topic of supply chain, but I read a fascinating article yesterday about the ships that are starting to stack up in our port. And I'm wondering if the dean might be able to speak to some of the things that can be done related to supply chain where one thing doesn't have such a drastic impact on the other. In other words, the fact that there's so many ships stacked up in the ports leads to the railroads getting backed up. Yeah. And then it's just like a domino effect. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Rich, that's a great question. And if you think about why that happens, is that supply chains sometimes, go back to Larry's question, is that you're moving a product. Let's assume that you are moving iPhones. I mean, iPhones don't go on ships, but let's assume that there is a product that's manufactured in a different part of the world. It comes on a ship. It arrives in the harbor, and that's where the containers or the rail freight is waiting for them. Now, the thing is that underlying what we call friction points in a supply chain, places where delays happen, is because information needs to be shared and moved very quickly. So let's assume that a ship has arrived in the harbor and it's got about 60 containers. Now, on one hand, you want to inspect it to make sure that the products in there are truly what they are. Secondly, that they are not going to, you know, we worry about securing our borders. Terrorism is a good example. Second, and third, are these products going to damage our environment? So what's the option? One is to open up every container and inspect it. That'll take a few months. So where there's been a lot of progress is that we call it digital exchange of information, meaning that as soon as a ship leaves and even 20 days before it arrived, all the information has been sent to the port. They know exactly what to look for. Analytics helps them identify which two containers to examine and then move the whole thing smoothly. Now, this actually is pre-COVID. What has happened is that the COVID has increased our concerns about the virus and how do we build safe and sustainable supply chain practices, especially when we are moving materials across countries. So progress needs to be made, and I think those the thing that you referred to, Rich, is a blip. And I'm sure that we will be able to once again restore smooth and seamless supply chain flow.
Ben from Rochester, Minnesota, had called, couldn't stay in line, but there's an increase in the production of plastic packaging right now.
Yeah.
And could the school institute a program that would focus on zero plastic use or mitigating that?
Right. I think as a university, I mentioned the Nelson Institute, we are seeking to more actively collaborate with them. So, and then we have a master's program in design thinking. So this is not a new problem, but the business school and many parts of the campus continually work on how do we build sustainable packaging so that we can reduce the use of plastics. And I also mentioned about the amount of packaging, which is because of the current retail models, but can we reduce that? So there is work going on.
There is indeed. A listener wanted to know, this back to cooperatives, is there a course in cooperatives being taught at UW-Madison in your department, in your school?
Yeah. I think cooperatives is more a matter of doing rather than teaching. As I said, I go back to applied learning. Fundamentally, a cooperative is bringing our companies, our students, and our professors together, and we do that very well through practice. And it's the real change is when you practice it and do it rather than teaching. What we teach are the fundamentals, and then we put them together to work on, we call them experiential projects, and those are our version of cooperatives.
Well, as always, it's a great pleasure to have you with us today, Dean Samba. Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much, and hopefully we'll get you back and we'll do this again.
Thank you, Larry, and hopefully you're enjoying fall. It looks so beautiful out there, but thanks for inviting me to the call, and have a good rest of the week.
Thank you very, very much. Dean Samba, Vallabh Samba Murthy, I should give his whole name. He's the Albert O. Nicholas Dean of the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. Kind of a delightful guy, so it's always fun to have him with us. As we look ahead, we got an update on the Brewers, Packers, and talk about things Wisconsin sports with our WPR sports reporter tomorrow on the show. And we're going to be asking for your suggestions for future sports shows. What would you like to see? And I did want to remind you or let you know that we've got a new blog out on fermenting from our program that we did the other day on fermenting and how you can do that with some of your foods to be healthier. So that's in the works and in one of our blogs, ideas at WPR.org. Go there. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.